virtue, vice. Last week we gave an overview of what we needed to add to our faith. And so today I just want to get more specific on what we need to add. I've got to do hand grip exercises because Terry's stronger than I am, and he always a tighter to tight. Where is he? We talked about having spiritual LASIK surgery so that we have our vision right. The promise of LASIK vision correction says life without glasses would be a whole new life. And I'm saying that if we have spiritual LASIK surgery, if we add to our faith and we get our sight right, where we're not blind and we're not nearsighted, as the scripture tells us, then we'll have a whole new life. And so how do we do that? Do you want to grow in your faith? Do you want to receive a rich welcome into heaven? Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1:10, "For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Peter says that if you do these things, you will never fall, which implies and teaches that you can do certain things and you will fall. In order not to fall, we must add to our faith. Because faith without actions is dead. James tells us that in 2:17. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. If you only have faith and have no actions, you have no faith at all. Verse 18 says, "But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds.' Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." Faith has deeds. Faith grows. Otherwise, it's not faith at all. It's dead. So again, Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1:5, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins." When you are not blind or nearsighted in Jesus, you will have a whole new, wonderful life. We'll be able to participate in God and His godliness. And thus we will escape the corruption of the world. That's what Peter tells us there in verse 4. But we have to add to our faith so that we won't be nearsighted or blind. But before we can add to our faith, we have to have faith in order to add to. So what is faith? Faith is simply a trusting relationship in God. Faith is grounded in your knowledge of the life and of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Paul tells us best in Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Sure of hope. Certain of the unseen. We trust what God said is true. And we have evidence of what is not seen. There in chapter 11, Paul gives us at least 12 specific examples of what faith looks like. Let me just read one example in Hebrews 11:8. "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going." That's one example of what does faith look like. Now, I want to illustrate that this morning, so I need a volunteer. All right. Love volunteerism, right? Very good. Turn 4. It It's not too bad. Now, can you see? No? All right. Is it too tight?
No.
Well, we'll tighten it up. Somebody come up here and help pull. Uh-oh. We need some hair again. All right. Here, you just follow me. Oh, you got to do what I do, man. All right, there we go. Twist around a little bit. Now, when I let my hand off of your shoulder, you run as fast and as hard as you can.
Okay.
All right. I'm just kidding with you. I won't do that to them. They were wanting me to, though. You can't see their face, but they really want to. So, you just follow my command. Just a little baby step to the left. Yeah. Now, twist your body. Take your right shoulder just forward. That's a little too much. You over-rotated. Oh, perfect. Now, take a baby step forward. And a smaller baby step forward. All right, now step down. Nice. And another little baby step. Nice. And step down. And a baby step forward. Now turn left. 90 degrees, thank you. All right. And just walk at a normal pace. Oh, sorry about that. Okay, bear stop. Now take a side step to the left. Oh, very nice. Okay. Normal cadence. And better stop. And another baby slide. Oh, very nice. Okay. And forward again. Very nice. And stop. A rotation left degrees 270.
What?
Just turn around and sit down. We picked Jeff because Kim has trained him well to follow directions. Now, obviously, I am not a perfect direction giver, and therefore he ran into the mic stand. But he just trusted me to do what I said, that I wasn't going to injure him. But I'm not perfect. But if we trust God, God is perfect. He will not run us into a wall. He will not lead us over a cliff. He will direct our paths, and we will be safe in Him. That is what faith is. A trusting relationship based upon knowledge. It's not, most Christians have blind faith. I don't have blind faith. I have reasoned, knowledgeable faith. And that's what we need to have. So before we can add to our faith, we need to make sure that we are following God in a trusting relationship based upon reason and logic, His Word, and to trust Him, to listen to His voice, and to follow Him, knowing that He is not going to lead us astray or do anything to harm us. When we have that kind of faith, when we trust God with every step of our life, then we can add to that faith and we will be effective and productive for Him. So we need to add to our faith goodness. We need to add to our faith virtue. We need to add to our faith moral excellence. But Jim, I thought you were only going to tell us about one thing today. They're all the same. The NIV translates that Greek word goodness. The King James translates it virtue. And I'm going to tell you those are both good translations, but I'm going to explain it to you as moral excellence. So we can maybe understand it a little better. Or at least so I can understand it better. So what is goodness? What is virtue? What is moral excellence? This goodness is linked to the character of God. And we are called by God's goodness. In 2 Peter 1:3, it says His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and His own goodness. God has called us by His own virtue, His own goodness. God has called us by His own moral excellence. That's the verses right before what we read. And we need to add to our faith that very thing. His holiness, His moral excellence is what we need to add. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." That word praises in the Greek is the word virtue, the word goodness, the word moral excellence. Now listen to that again. "That you may declare the moral excellence, the virtue, the goodness of God who called us." So as a Christian, we are to declare, we are to publish, we are to announce God's goodness, God's moral excellence. Well, how are you going to declare that? You better declare it with how you live, by adding that to your life. We're to live by God's standards, to live by what is right based on God's word. Not just staying away from the bad, but actually living the good and the right. I read a quote this week. It says this, "Moral excellence means the pursuit of the moral will of God in every area of life." That's what Johnny was talking about. "This includes values, attitudes, priorities, goals or purposes, devotion, and a Christ-like character in the home, at the office, at church, as well as in one's hobbies and entertainment. Moral virtue is something that should characterize the Christian everywhere and in everything." That's exactly what we're talking about today. Add to your faith goodness. Add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith moral excellence. That's how we need to live in everything we do. Why? Because when we were immersed into Christ, the old was gone and the new has come. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says this, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God?" And that is what some of you were. Well, you were because 2 Corinthians 5:17, yeah, the old is gone, the new has come. That's what you were, but that's not what you are. Because we were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. We have been forgiven by the goodness of God, and therefore we must live in God's goodness. Paul tells us again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us." See, what did Peter tell us? We are to proclaim His praises. Paul says that God is making His appeal through you. "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." We are to become the righteousness of God. Now that's not on our own power. That is given to us when we have faith. And we need to live in that and be an example of that righteousness of God. We are to become the righteousness of God. Are you living a righteous life? Are you righteous in thought and in character? If you do not add goodness, moral excellence to your faith, you're going to have spiritual astigmatism. Your spiritual vision is going to be blurry because you've got two points or more of lights coming in, and you can't see, and everything's crooked. Everything's blurry. Your moral character cannot be divided. Your thoughts can't be on both good and evil. You can't serve two masters. Matthew writes in 6:24, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." So how can we add goodness to our faith? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 tells us this. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent," it's that same word, goodness, virtue, "whatever, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." So how do we add to our faith? Goodness? Well, we need to make a conscious effort to think on the things that are good. That's what Paul tells us there in Philippians. If it's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, think on such things. Therefore, that means don't think on things that are opposite from that. That's pretty simple to understand. We need to make a conscious effort. Garbage in, garbage out. God in, God out. It's pretty simple. What are you influencing yourself with? Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So you need to renew your mind. We need to renew our mind day by day by the Word of God. That's why it's so important to read our Bibles every day. That's why it's so important to be part of joining together to worship in the morning, at night. That's why it's important to get together on Wednesday for Bible study. It's important to fill ourselves, to renew our mind with God's Word. Well, you just want bigger attendance at places. I want us all to grow. And the church has services so that people can come and grow. If we canceled every service except one, guess what? My job gets a lot easier. So let's cancel them all. We have lots of opportunities to transform our mind so that we can grow together in Christ, so that we can add to our faith. And hopefully you'd want to be a part of that because you want to add to your faith. You want to grow in your relationship with Christ. You know, you will become what you allow to influence you. Monkey see, monkey do. Isn't that true? Be careful when you got little kids at home. Be careful when you got big kids at home. Be careful when you walk in public. You will do what you see. So another good reason why to come to church is to be a part of a fellowship and to learn and to grow with mature Christians so that we can know how mature Christians think and act, how they deal with situations. Let's think about that for a second. Who do you hang out with? Now, normally we think, just teenagers are hanging out with people. That peer pressure is only a teenage problem. If anybody's got a peer, there's pressure. It doesn't matter what your age. So who do you hang out with? What do you listen to? What do you watch? Do a little test. If you don't believe that this is true, when you're not in a complaining mood, decide to complain to people. And to see if you can't get other people to complain along with you. Think it'll happen? Or, let's do a more positive test. When you're not wanting to think about the blessings of life, think about the blessings of life. And start speaking positively and see if you can't get other people to talk positively. Now, the only reason that those folks would be so influenced by what you say is because you're so charismatic. And no one is so charismatic that they would convince you or influence you to do that. Right? That's why companies spend billions and billions and billions of dollars on marketing. Because it doesn't work. Because it doesn't influence anybody. Monkey see, monkey do. We better make sure what monkey we're hanging out with. You may as well hang out with the monkeys around here. Paul goes on to say in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So we need to follow the example of others. You go, well, man, I don't need to be at church. I don't need to be doing all this. Well, then come and help the rest of us. Because we need you to help the rest of us. So how do you add goodness? How do you add moral excellency to your faith? How do you put goodness into practice? I'm just going to give you two examples. You know these examples, but let's think about them anyway. Joseph in Genesis 39, verse 6. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well-built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? He didn't mention he was sinning against his master. How could he do such a wicked thing and sin against God? See, that is how you put moral excellence into your life, that you make sure that your actions are moral, are virtuous, are good. Moses goes ahead to write in verse 10, and though she spoke to Joseph day after day after day after day, he refused to go to bed with her, or even to be with her. Even to be with her. One day he went into the house to attend his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. And when she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and he ran out of the house, she called her household servants. Look, she said to them, this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. And when he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. So we see some very good character traits of Joseph. Verse 9, we see that he did not want to sin against God. He refused even to be with her. So that means stay away from temptation. If you know that you're tempted in a certain way, stay away. Don't walk into that. He didn't knowingly walk into an empty house. She probably cleared out all the other servants to trap him. I'm just speculating. But even in a trap, what did he do? He ran. Ran for his life. even though he was accused of wrongdoing when he was being righteous. You will be accused of doing wrong even when you're doing right. Do right anyway. That is how you add moral excellency to your faith. Be careful to live, to do what is right, to think ahead, and to add that. But also I want us to think about moral thought with Stephen in Acts chapter 7, verse 54. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him. And they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and he cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he said this, he fell asleep. Who would have blamed Stephen for cursing the religious leaders for stoning him? We would have understood the extreme circumstances. We would have understood that Stephen was in pain and he just couldn't forgive. But that's not what we see. He prayed for his executioners just like Jesus did. We need to have moral excellence in our thought. Through forgiveness. Do you pray for those who persecute you? Do you pray for those who hurt you? Do you want their best? Do you ask God to bless them? Will you forgive them? They didn't hurt you any worse than Stephen being stoned, Jesus being crucified. And so how do we add goodness, virtue, moral excellence to our faith? We need to do it with thought. In our thoughts, our attitudes, and in our actions. So then, we can declare to the whole world the goodness, the moral excellence of God. And that's our goal as a Christian, that we demonstrate that so that we are faithful to Him. So the question simply comes down today is, will you add goodness to your faith?